shocked me a bit as to how it wasn't arrogant, it was just how unquestioning I was in making my statement. I mean, I guess this coming from a guy who spent so much of his life questioning everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up and I kind of sat there for a few minutes. I was thinking about it. I was like, wow, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong. The fact is, there's nothing wrong, of course, with being really comfortable in what you've decided to believe. But I just started to get this unnerved feeling that, you know, I haven't had much struggle for a while. I don't really have the confusing and upsetting questions I used to have. And it's like, kind of like nothing's going wrong. And so I was pretty nervous, like for like a little bit, not actually palpably nervous, but just sort of in the back of my mind, I was just thinking like, wow. I mean, it's like when you're suddenly, okay, what's going on? You're waiting for the shoe to drop or the calm before the storm. I've never had that happen. I've never been in an event where I was thinking about it that way. And I remember Raj once said something to the effect of like, having everything you want can be as big a problem as not having what you want, or like there's dreams where sometimes it's just a reassurance to say, yeah, attaboy or whatever. I don't know. I've just never been in a place where I just didn't feel so, I feel so, like, I don't have so many questions and stuff. I just wonder if anybody have ever experienced that or had any thoughts on that.
Actually, I had the same thought this week. I was thinking that, how do I know I'm not fooling myself?
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, and I just decided that I would just pay attention. And that's all I'm doing is paying attention. But, you know, actually, if we're kind of being okay with the way we're living and outpicturing our life, then what is it? What else? I mean, you know, I mean, for me personally, I'm looking at this whole thing of, okay, so what do? Well, maybe nothing. Go babysit.
What do you do?
Grandkids.
Oh, what do you do?
Yeah.
Like, what do you, literally, what am I going to do next? Or what do you do about
that? Yeah, more like, what am I going to do next? Yeah.
Okay.
And it's sort of like, why worry about it? Just be here right now and, you know, go babysit the grandkid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you first described that, Andrew, what came to mind was Roger saying he 100% declarative, never ever back off. I'm adding, editorializing now. He did never ever back off from being willing to declare yourself and who you are, but always be prepared at the drop of a hat to reconsider where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, to me, that translates into declare, and if new data arrives that allows me or points to the desirability of reconsidering, well, then reconsider. But my pattern has been to reconsider before I even get around to declaring.
Mm-hmm.
Never being, you know, all that certain. And so I reconsider in advance of declaring. And so I think in the net effect in that kind of situation is the declaration is awful fuzzy. And I think the life that arises or is emergent from a fuzzy constituent probably what's emergent is a little on the fuzzy side as well. So I think it's a neat development for you to turn and say, you know what? I'm feeling really confident about what I'm doing. Or I'm very.
It's like I don't know that I guess it's somewhere between, and I've never had to deal with this before. Somewhere between, you know, feeling like I finally am pretty clear about a lot of the things that, you know, we've been going over, or at least I myself have decided, yeah, I, this is what I believe, or this is what I'm living. And just wondering how I could be so certain, because I spent most of my time, as you guys have been with me the last 20-something years, I would never take a stand. You know, I was always willing to reconsider. I was always ready for Roger to kick, you know, the feet out from under us from anything we said. So, just... When I first met Misty and Roger, I had this, like, sort of, I think I was maybe too pushy with my view or something. So I took a big step back from that.
Well, it is, and it's that Karen and I had a conversation this morning that may have some bearing on this subject matter, and that's how permeated our lives have been, and still continue to be in more ways than I like, to be full of judgment.
Mm.
And it's the realization that absolutely the root of being discontent is judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that being uncertain of your anybody being uncertain of their declarations must for sure hinge around judgment.
And oh, interesting.
Why would we even kind of sidestep or be prepared to give up a declaration unless we were in a place where we're prepared to judge or be judged?
Yeah, it's like I think that's a really good observation. I was prepared for, or I was feeling like something was going to happen. You know, I was feeling like I was a consequence that I was going to judge bad was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And so that good old judgment rears its head, I'll tell you, all too frequently. And it's really, truly, that when Roger would say the universe doesn't give a shit, what basically it was saying is it doesn't judge, period, zero, zip. Data is data. Why the hell would you judge it?
Hmm.
And that we're always free to make our choices relative to who we are and what we are living. It's just absolutely amazing. Okay, what number?
I was going to back up to 381.
Uh-huh.
And then pick it up from there.
And if we're following the same pattern, that'd be you, Mr. Laura.
I gotta get my backup page. So, Missy, you didn't have any comment on anything I was saying?
I would say that that's pretty much where I live a lot of the time. I don't question a lot, but yet I take in the information and swirl it around in my head and have all sorts of understandings out of that. It's like, if I do have questions, it's not that I actually pose them so much anymore, because the answers present themselves before I even have to ask the question. Does that make any sense?
Yep.
Sure does.
It's like living self-evidentingly. It just, I just lead myself to greater and greater understandings.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, have a way of life right now that might have become normal to us that most people don't even imagine possible.
Oh, I agree. When I start to talk to some of the people, like at yoga today, and the lady was telling me about her life and all this kind of stuff, and I'm sitting there going, and you're just sitting there going, they put themselves through so much drama without, you know, and then ask these questions and that are just, I don't know, unfathomable to me to be asking some of these questions, you know. Either you do like it or you don't like it. Either you want to be in a relationship or you don't want to be in a relationship. You know, either you want to fix it or you don't want to fix it. You know, all these kinds of things, you know, playing these games and staying together because they think they should, or a lot of crazy things out there.
Yeah, well, it's hard having conversations with people.
It is, but I slowly kind of put in just a little something to get their minds thinking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they keep coming back, so they must like that. So, yeah, they like that abuse, yes. So,
okay.
That's where I am.
Thank you. Much obliged. Okay, reading 381. Since all things in the universe are mind, give some serious thought to there being a physical or Earth time based on this planet orbiting the sun, which is measured by the vibrations of a cesium atom, and this time is an active force in your body and life. But there is also mind time acting as a force in your mind. Huh.
Okay.
I know that's not related to what we were talking about, but somehow that seems like it's strangely related to what we were talking about.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
I can't tell you that it's an apples-to-apples comparison, but there's something in that pattern that underlying fits.
Well, I'll propose a bridge or theorize a bridge, and that's you remember struggling more than you are now, and that's when you were Earth time.
Yeah, that's a good point, Pat.
You're Earth timing, and now you are spending more time mind time.
That's a good point. That is kind of what it is. It's something like that, yeah. All right.
Want to go to 382?
Next tonight. Yep, 382.
The speed of light based on Earth time is a slowpoke in mind time. But regrettably, you have slowed the speed of your mind to mouth speed, which is the speed at which you think your language.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We all do that for sure.
And to relate to what I mentioned, of what I said came to mind when I heard Andrew first tonight, is that reconsidering in advance of declaring, that's the work of mouth speech timing. That's languaging. What position do I want to declare? And I do it in advance at mouth speed, which is language time.
Perhaps that's why I'm not asking so many questions anymore, because I'm not so much in that. Interesting.
Folks, we might just be on the verge of crossing into direct perception.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
It's not really a question for me. and that's different because we spent most of our years and forever living, learning, memorizing, and keeping up, you know, what was next. But if we're now, you know, with some time and some time to bubble this thing into, you know, place inside of us, then maybe we're actually starting to do more direct experience of these things.
Oh, I think so. Actually, another thing Karen and I were talking about is that Roger always, always wanted something new to present.
Yeah.
And he was always pressing, new concepts, new ways of saying what he'd already said.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always running just to try to catch up.
Me too.
And now there is this sense of it's kind of settling, quickening. and the understanding seem more profound.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to think that the, you know, I know we never took breaks, you know, that just wasn't what we did, and we were all into that to the extent that we were. It's just that I wonder, with a little bit of, you know, time just to absorb, I wonder if this is, understandings are going to come out more and faster than they had before. I don't know.
Well, I don't either, but Roger had his way.
Yep.
A powerful, powerful personality. Where that, I think that personality still has an extraordinary large influence on my life.
Mm-hmm.
But there's time now for me to consider how I express all that.
All right. Well, with direct perception or personal experience, then, you know, then that's stepping into mastery.
You got it.
Okay, who's 383?
I am 383. It seems you not only limited your awareness to languaging, you also reduced the speed of your mind to languaging. Now, certainly, you understand that of listening with your eyes and thinking in images, you don't limit your awareness to language or slow your thinking to mouth speed.
I think somebody just said that.
I love that, listen with your eyes. That's always great. It always stops me. Listening with your eyes. Of course. Yeah.
Okay, I think it's you, Sharon.
No, it's me.
Oh, it's Patrick. That's right. I'm sorry.
384. 1 minute of mind time is sufficient time for a rise and flower and fade away. How long is 14 billion light years in Earth time? Do you know? Even if you give me an answer in Earth time, you still don't know how long that is. And you certainly don't know how long that is in mind time.
It's always such an interesting thing to think that it could be just like blink of an eye. And the whole existence of the earth and everything has come and gone.
Yep, getting all lummoxed by 14 billion light years and all that kind of stuff is being ourselves locked in earth time.
Yep.
And that's even in even the notion of infinity, it's beyond comprehension, certainly within Earth time.
Yep. Yes, Sharon, it's your turn.
Okay. 385. Events in the world around you occur randomly, without intention. However, by the time you sense an event, send a message to your brain, and process that message at mouth speed, the event is past. And at mind speed, it is long past, such that you have placed the original event. What's that?
There is a D there, yeah.
Yeah. You have placed the original event into memory. And in sensing what occurred, you are now recalling and reassembling the event, or particularizing and personalizing the event from memories as you desire that event to be. And though that occurred in a second of Earth time, that was quite an extended mind time process, such that your mouth speed brain hardly realizes what happened and continues reacting to events as though nothing unusual has occurred. Yep.
Yep, definitely.
Yep, the truth.
And at that last bit, could also be amended slightly to say, but I was going to say that we don't even see that the event occurred. Anyway.
We're totally in reaction at that point.
Yeah. Exactly.
We're not even being in presence.
Andrew, do you
want
to read the next one?
Yeah, sorry, just catching up here. This is where we were last week. Okay. 386, whenever you react, you are always reacting to the past. Does it make sense to continue that? Wow, this is so pertinent tonight. No. No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Is it Karen next? Oh, no, it's fine. Yeah, we don't have to talk.
The emphasis here is that does it make sense to continue that? That question relates to the act of reacting.
To the past.
Yeah, it's always the past, no matter what. If you react, it's always the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that, you know, a little bit of thought to this, that I can have an event occur, and I play around that by considering that event. Like it says earlier here, that we now recalling and reassembling the event and particularizing and personalizing it the way I want it to be, or as I desire it to be. I can go on for hours like that and begin reacting. And that's so removed from the event, that's almost insanity. And I still find myself doing that from time to time. But hours after the event, after I've gnawed away at it for a couple hours, then I take action. That's a reactive action. That's silly.
Is anybody else getting the police radio coming in on their communication?
Yeah, I was wondering, is that, I thought it was maybe, you know, North Korean signal.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Yeah, I got. So it sounded like police. Okay. It seems to have subsided a bit.
Yep. Okay. Who read last? Karen?
Who read last? Karen?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's Andrew.
I read last,
it's Karen.
Karen.
Okay, 387. If you understand this, certainly you see that by particularizing and personalizing each thing and event as you desire, you randomize everything, so you can particularize and personalize as you desire. And the universe supports you in that, and always has supported you in this.
Absolutely. Anybody got anything more to say on that one?
No, I think that's what I talked about here a moment ago about ruminating on something for a couple hours after the fact. So the universe has always given me this, that supported me in that, and it will always support me in that.
Yep.
So if I have a question then, and two, I want to continue that kind of, yeah.
Okay, 388. Now, in living intentionally, have you ever considered intentionally particularizing and personalizing every event and thing and condition, not only as you truly desire, but as you truly desire as an inspiring eternal being? Wouldn't that alone change everything about yourself and life today?
What is an intact question? What is, do you think he means by an inspiring eternal being?
It's one that is activated, I would put it. One that is not just sitting by, but wants to do things, wants to see things, wants to understand things.
So when I think of inspiring or inspiration, I think that something's enlivened.
Yep.
It wouldn't otherwise be.
Yep. Yeah, put into action. Yeah.
Hmm.
And being in the sense that it is, truly desire as an inspiring eternal being. Inspiring would mean the action of inspire, which means that they are inspiring others. Would it not?
Mm-hmm. I would think so, in this context, for sure, yeah. Yeah, it's being an inspiration in your life. And at other points in time, we talked about showing the universe how it can be.
Okay, Patrick, would you read the next one?
Okay, 389. Well, one more thing. Certainly you can consider that at mind speed. You can think ahead of earth speed events and particularize and personalize them, or respond even before they occur.
Yes.
That's an interesting one.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's one I'm playing with.
Mm-hmm.
In what way?
Well, like I said, it was, you know, I needed to make a phone call, and it was all about my taxes, and I had stressed about this, and I'm like, why are you doing that? That's in the past. Get yourself into present moment and make this evolve and make it be what it can be. I have access to all the information. I can image that this can turn out perfectly, and I don't have to stress about it. And it's being in that, being aware and making the right moves at the right time and doing the right thing. So I picked up the phone call, picked up the phone and made the call. And it's like, oh, everything's going to be fine. Okay, great. You know, so I don't know. I think it's something to play with.
Good idea.
Instead of being in the past and in memories and how it always has been, stop it.
Mm-hmm. Just a thought, isn't worrying and stressing about things that are coming up responding before they occur?
Yeah, and aren't you really mind-fucking yourself?
It's negative.
Yeah.
Negative will against oneself, right. So, yeah, it's the most harmful thing we can do.
And it is, I mean, for me, it's just like it's evidence that I can do that.
It's also a waste of life.
Before something occurs. If I worry before the fact and stress before the fact, then I'm responding before it occurs. So I can also live it more in alignment with how I truly desire before the fact.
Right.
But if you already stress it and all that kind of stuff, then you're living that into your body and your life.
Absolutely.
And so you're everything.
I'm hesitant to say, to jump on and say, yeah, it's a very harmful, terrible thing to do, because that's kind of a judgment. But
no, what I would say is it's a constituent that is basically affecting how the emergent is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why I brought it up. May not be as I truly desire, it may not be as I want, it may not be anything that I would put on my list of the ways I want to live forever and ever, but it is evidence that I can do it. And I can create my next moment by living it before it happens.
And plus, you're wasting a big part of your life doing that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying it's a thing that I want to do. I'm just saying that it's a really interesting way of looking at that sentence and saying, hey, I've been doing this for a long time. I've just not been doing it in alignment with how I truly desire.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, you know, like if I worry about stuff and then I, you know, before the fact, I'm responding before it happens and creating a less than desirable situation before the fact. So isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's quite fascinating, really. I mean, it's definitely not what I want to keep doing. Would I do that for never and ever? No. But it is interesting that if I can do it in, you know, quotes, a negative sense, I can do it in a positive sense, too. I can do it however I want it. Is that making sense? Does anybody...
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly. Makes perfect sense.
Okay. I believe we're up to you, Sharon.
Nope.
Aren't we?
Oh, I thought
no.
Pat again?
No. Are we?
I thought Pat read the last one. He didn't.
Did Pat read the last one?
Oh, you're right.
Is it 388?
390.
What?
390.
Oh, God. To complement these intentional particularizations and personalizations, live every belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action, and every desire and experience as you, an inspiring, resplendent being, truly intend, not as you intend that to cause what you intend.
Mm-hmm.
Not as you intend that to cause what you intend.
Yeah, that last part is like, oh, law of attraction, think positive, and then I'll have what I want. That's not what he's talking about.
Right.
So I think that how to encompass it? It's just the overall world culture is that you do all these things to get or cause what you intend to be.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of
that
you
is
having
what
it,
we've been taught.
Yeah, instead of having it all as you truly intend and live. To me, there's a huge difference between the two.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Andrew?
Okay. 391. If your actions and reactions are intended to cause a desired result, since causing is not at all reliable, every such action is essentially accidental. Is that how you want to continue living your life? By accident?
That's a neat way of putting it. No, I don't want to live by accident.
Uh-oh, what happened?
I don't know. We're here.
Yep. Okay.
Must have been an accident.
Must have been. Okay, Karen, 392.
Is it possible for you to understand that you do not have an inspiration to live and share? You are inspiration itself. In fact, your true nature is inspiration. Inspiration that is finer, more expansive, and more resplendent than enlightenment and completely random.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this has been concealed by language and improper intention.
Yep. 393. Do you really think that inspiring illumination and resplendence could be other than random? For intention weakens, dulls, and confines or limits resplendent illumination and inspiration.
That's a really, really, really important point. Well, because it's illumination and resplendence. If even there is a hint of intention in that, it's become cause. And causing, as we just read a minute ago, is at best, the outcomes are accidental. So inspiration is in and of itself an action that is whole and complete. It doesn't need anything else. It's the way I read it.
I'm just asking why in the previous one it says all of this has been concealed by language and improper intention, which would kind of indicate that there's a proper intention, and then 393 says intention, period, weakens, dulls, and confines.
I think that he means by that just basically intention itself, and that is an improper way to proceed.
Misty, could you repeat that?
Probably not, but I think that what he's saying is that intention in itself is improper, and that's why it's a falsity, and you really mess things up with intention. So improper intention is, for him, I think,
okay,
in
I
this...
Think you're, that's the way I was reading it, too. It's not that there is a good intention.
A proper intention.
It's just plain ordinary, an improper concept.
Yeah, I think that he was just trying to emphasize it.
Well, okay, and that ties back to 388, where he started, like, it says, now living intentionally, have you ever considered intentionally particularizing and personalizing every event and thing, not only as you truly desire, but as you desire as an inspiring eternal being. I'm assuming he's saying that's proper intention or desirable intention.
Yeah, I think that that's true, but it's a choice.
That would be a judgment.
What's that?
Proper intention.
Yeah, that's true. I read two different ways of intentionalizing here.
I do too. They seem to contradict to me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it seems like you could hold, like I hold intention that I, you know, have held intention to understand this. That's
okay.
Not a judgment, is it? But it is a doing.
Well, I look at, as I read this last intention, improper intentions, like, okay, you know, I'm going to get these things. I'm going to go here, have this, I'm going to do these things to cause my outcome, essentially.
I'm going to be an illuminated being.
That is improper intending.
Right.
If you read it as going to get there someday. But as I look at this, it seems to me living intentionally can be like living declaratively.
Right.
Yeah, I tend to agree
that's
with you. It's like...
that's what I thought.
Purpose or declaration.
Yeah, it's just the intention of, I'm, by God, I'm living this now because that's me. And that is a, like a declaration, intention. Intentional living is like declarative living.
I think I follow that, Andrew.
And the other is, I think, causative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One's empowering and forever, and one is depowered and I guess what, future-oriented?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. Whose turn is it to read now?
Who said improper? Was it Sharon? Who said that last one?
Which one was it?
393.
What? 393?
Didn't
so,
Pat
is it mine?
Oh, yeah, Pat. I'm sorry, I was looking back at, yeah. Pat just read 393, so.
That's 394. If you relate to your life and inspiration as particular, you will only receive those particular benefits. However, after particularizing your life and inspiration, living them as random for all occasions will benefit you beyond your finest imagination. Intention brings doubt and uncertainty. Living for intended results will disappoint you, so okay, and grieve you.
So if you relate to your life and inspiration as particular, so does that say that means, it seems to mean that I'm relating to my life and inspiration as particular means that I have intended to be this particular?
Well, we should read the next one.
Yeah.
Why? Will that answer his question?
No, I think it gets clear.
Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
All right, I think that's me. 395, think clearly now. Can you, that's an intention. Think clearly now. Can you actually declare that in believing a belief, thinking a particular thought, feeling a feeling, or emoting an emotion, these were intentional actions? What were your intentions? Do you know? Can you possibly know your intentions? Not clearer.
So I guess intentions and declarations are different then.
You know, what's really interesting about this is I think that he's getting us to look through to what we and others are doing, in which not only can the words sound the same, the actions can be very close to the same and yet be entirely different.
Yeah. Well, and that might be, is that why he used declaration?
Well, it could be, but isn't that, can you, another way of looking at it, can you actually declare that in believing a belief, thinking a particular, all that kind of stuff, isn't he saying here, do you actually think that belief, thought, feeling, emotion, and these actions, these, everything, aren't those all emergent? Can you declare, but aren't they all emergent in one way or another?
Yeah.
So if they're emergent, how could you possibly know your intention?
That's right. So every one of them, every one of those, if you declare them in advance,
it's not emergent.
Yeah.
The only thing that you really...
Oh, I got 394 now.
The only thing that you can really declare in life is how you will be alive.
Yeah.
And then we live our life through thoughts, feelings, attitudes, emotions, actions. Yeah.
Right, but those are just the, okay, so I'm looking at 394. Those are just the, what you might call incidental expressions of the moment. What I think he's, what I hear, right, or as I'm sensing this right now, is so when he talks about living, after particularizing your life and inspiration, living them random for all occasions. Random means it's not an intention that you're doing this. This is how you're living, period, regardless of the circumstances. That's why it's random. There's no intentional outcome you're going for. You are the outcome, if you want to call it that. You're already it.
I think you hit on that, Andrew, yes.
Will benefit beyond your finest imagination. Right, because then you haven't limited what the emergent qualities of your life are by saying, oh, yeah, I've got to have this and do that. At first, I was reading this as like, oh, you know, I got to have money and live in this kind of house, and you know, where the world has to be a certain way. But as I read it again, I realized, well, even I could say that I have to be a certain way, either or. That I must be peaceful. I must be feel majestic. I must whatever.
Yeah, the beginning part is that if you get all particular about what your life and inspiration is going to be, you will only receive particular benefits. However,
then he gets into 395, and I mean, it's a good question because I don't know, I never thought of it. I can't, I'm not clear about what it is, the answer, my answer.
Well, it's kind of like looking at emergent and how that works, and then looking at this, saying, okay, can you know the constituents of intention? You can't. You don't know what all the constituents are, so you can't know what the emergent will be.
Right.
Okay, Karen, you want to do 396?
That's 396?
Mm-hmm.
What inspires you enables you to live intentionally.
Yay.
Ta-da. That was a mouthful, huh?
Boy, you're reading. You're reading a lot of inspiring ones tonight, Karen.
Okay, 397. Only by wholeheartedly embodying and living the inspirations you have chosen will you even know yourself and the world around you. Are you willing to devote every belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action, and every desire and experience to your inspiration as you intend, not as you intend that to be inspiring? Begin again living.
I think 397 is going to be the subject of our weekly meeting this week.
I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm saying that I think 397 is going to be the subject matter for our weekly meeting this week.
Oh, yeah.
And do you intend to be inspiring, or are you going to, or is your inspiration as you intend?
That's a good way to say it.
No and thoughts on that, huh?
That's 397 is very, very powerful.
Yeah. So at this point, we have a whole different thought process going on for the last page, and since we said that we would stop at 7, I think that that's where we'll stop for this one. And we'll pick it up there next week.